And I felt the Lord tell me, yes, and I brought you through that. And when they learn some discipline in Babylon, I will bring them out of that. You know, this church was a very legalistic church. Thou shalt nots and thou shalt, lots and lots of them. Very, very legalistic. And you really didn't have time. You couldn't really hear the Lord because they were shouting so loud in your ear. You know, they would tell you everything. It's nothing led of the Spirit. We'll tell you what the Spirit says. You listen to us, we'll tell you how it is, you know. So they made rules and regulations for everything, and they condemned everybody but them. Okay? So, but these people were extremely undisciplined. And I thought, you know, there's one thing I did learn a little bit of in that church. Was a little bit of discipline. And, you know, so I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm going to bring them in. You know, I know the Lord brought me from the Catholic Church to the Baptist Church to the Pentecostal Church, and then He delivered me from there. But I also know He gave me a little something in each one of those. And if you talk to someone, for instance, you know, like Russ is talking about talking to this fella, and you don't seem to be making any headway with it, if you talk to someone like that, don't worry about it. They're being tried. They're being tried in Babylon. They will have opportunity to accept truth or deny it. And if they, when faced with that situation, pass the test, God will graduate them. And if they don't, they'll go around that mountain again until they get it right. Don't worry about it. When God makes opportunity for you to share with people like that, share with them. But don't be impulsive and don't worry about it. God's in control. In fact, this whole world serves the Lord. Even Babylon serves the Lord. Did you know that when God's people rebel, He sent them into bondage in Babylon? A lot of God's people are there right now. But a lot of them are crying out in their misery, like they were in Egypt, making bricks for the king of Babylon. You know, a lot of Christians are out there making bricks, building the kingdoms of men. But when they start crying out in their misery, just like we're reading here in Psalm 107, God's going to deliver them. As long as they're proud of it, and they don't see through it, and they don't see anything wrong with it, they'll probably stay there. But the righteous are going to come through that. You know, the Bible said, Jesus said to, about Peter, said, Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail you. You know, a lot of people are getting sifted. You know, Babylon is like a strainer. It's a big sieve, you know. It's a sifter. And it's kind of like there are different kinds of holes in the screen, you know. And the righteous just keep right on going through it, you know, because they love God, they love truth, they're seeking truth, and they can't be caught in a prideful, sectarian thing. At least not for very long, you see. I didn't stay for very long in any of them. I'm not pointing to myself as an example, but I didn't stay very long, and I know why, because God, because of His mercy and grace, He gave me a love and a desire for truth. And even though I got sidetracked a few times, He continued to show me and bring me on through it. And we talked to a lot of the people that are that way. Russ is talking to a man like that right now. We pray that that man will have more love for the truth than he has pride for denomination. And if he does, he will come on through it. You know. But I have to tell you, the same thing can happen here, even though we don't mean for it to happen. The same thing could happen here. You could have pride in a certain group of people that you fellowship, certain doctrines that are being taught, like you deserved it or something, you know? What do we have that we didn't receive, the Bible says? Now, Paul said that. What do you have that you didn't receive? You know, everything that you have, God gave you. You have nothing to be proud about. You have no sect or denomination or preacher to be proud of. God's given you everything. And He will continue to give you everything. And believe it or not, folks, this isn't the ultimate. It's still coming down the road. Praise be to God. I've got my eyes on the Lord. I'm looking for better than what we see here. You know that? I really do. I'm interested in seeing more of God's power, more of His wisdom, more of His anointing, a better way to do things, more people come into the kingdom. That's what I'm looking for. So if you're satisfied with this, listen, you know what David said? I will never be satisfied until I awaken thy likeness. If you're satisfied, you got the wrong attitude, you know. This isn't the ultimate. Yeah.
Now, this is Russ. You know, when you were talking about that it could happen here, you know, like in other words, if you had a question about what to do, you know, or reading the Bible, you know, to what would David say about it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you're right. You know, because I remember, you know, because then being kind of a new Christian, what do you call it? New Christian. You know what I'm talking about? I can think about, you know, I read your book, you know, from cover to cover, and you know that. It just, the book, you know, just had so much meaning to me. And then I can think of, and then coming here, I can think of there have been a number of times where I have thought, and I think I've even called you a couple of times where I wondered what was David's interpretation of it. So I can personally attest to kind of falling into that. I mean, that is a trap to fall into, isn't it? Is that what you're
it can
saying?
Be. You know,
if you do it too much,
God gives us, you know, He gives us elders, He gives us teachers to give wisdom. But let me say this, the elders are a means to an end. Their job is to help you to hear the voice of God so you can follow Him. Their job is not to perpetuate their job. Their job is to work themselves out of a job. That's what an elder's job is. Now, what religion normally does is the elder perpetuates his job. He makes everybody dependent upon him. Instead of growing people up so that they don't need him, he gets very offended if they grow up and walk out. In fact, in many cases, they tell him, look, you're backslidden because you don't need me no more. Well, you know, that's really the job of an elder. And if you are in a denomination, I hope and pray that you will outgrow that thing, you know, and go on to follow the Lord and be free, you know, because the Lord wants us to be free, you know. But the same thing is true here, folks. What we have here is a means to an end. It's not the end. God's got better than this coming down the road. God's going to put together, I believe, a wonderful fivefold ministry here. And I'm looking forward to it because I've never really been satisfied in anything less than that. It's just very edifying, very feeding, so to speak. You know, it's the full, rounded gift of God. So I'm looking for that.
You know, Jesus didn't go around telling all the Jews He was the Son of God. He showed them who He was. They even asked Him, well, who do you think you are? Are you the Son of God? And He says, well, you say I am. Or, you know, He told that to Pilate. I mean, are you the Son of God? He said, you say I am. So, I mean, Jesus never went around bragging, I'm Son of God, I'm this.
We're the only church. But it was.
But you'll notice that with people with religious spirits, they want to pound in your head them and not the Lord. They want to show you what they know versus what the Lord has done for them. They want you to listen and follow them instead of listen and follow the Lord. There's a great deception when people start giving you all kinds of verses, but they don't show you the Lord. And if they're not showing you the Lord, then what are they doing?
Yeah, we all, you know, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, if we accept the the worldly religious structure. It's as many as are led by the pastor in the denomination. But you see, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that means everybody's got to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit and follow Him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. So therefore, the elders have a job. When I say elders, folks, I mean fivefold ministry, because that's what it means in the Bible. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. These were the fivefold ministry. These were the elders in the church. Every elder was an ordained minister in the church, not assistants to the pastor. That's the Nicolaitan error. So, the job of the elders is to mature people. It takes the fivefold ministry to mature people so that they can hear the voice of the Lord, so that they have the mind of Christ. The elders of the church are gifted in from different directions in order to bring the full mind of Christ to a body that needs maturing. And when we, you know, as we grow, we recognize these elders, we submit to them, like the Bible says, because of their wisdom and their gift, and they mature in us. The ability that they have, they pass on their mantle to us. And that mantle enables us to be able to hear the voice of the Lord and follow Him in everything. And there are times, folks, if you follow your pastor or your leader rather than the Lord, then you're just going to stay in bondage. You know, we all have to hear the voice of the Lord. If, for instance, if I were to listen to the leader that I had when I was in the Catholic Church, I'd still be there. And the Baptist Church, I'd still be there. And the Pentecostal Church, I would still be there. But thank God, I got a little bit of hearing, and I heard what the Word said, and I found out they were departing from the Word, and I left them rather than the Lord. We have a choice to make, you see. And so, I can assure you on my end, I'm doing my best, but that don't mean that's the best the Lord has for you. But I believe God is going to join with us, and He has been doing it lately. As we go down this road, He's been joining more and more very good people with us to be elders and give direction and give counsel. And I'm happy to see it. I think God's going to do even more in the future, very quickly. But I don't like a Nicolaitan thing, and I hate the appearance of it. And we're seeking, so you pray for us, because we're seeking to get away from it. Okay? We want the Lord's will. And we know that people try to join to us every once in a while proclaiming to be elders, and we discern that they're not. And we pray for God to give us wisdom about who we join with and who joins with us, because we don't want a little leaven in the whole lump. You know? God bless you. Anybody got a question, Terry?
Several questions, but we'll take a station ID.
Okay. You're listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. If you need information or materials, teaching materials of any kind, you can go to our site, americaslastdays.com. And we're being broadcast from Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1, 89.9, and 103.7 FM on most of these stations. And Terry's about to give me a question then.
Yeah. It appears that when people, what we were talking about in Psalms 107, it appears that when people cry out to the Lord, that He saved them out of their distress. This was both in verse 13 and 18 of Psalms 107. To be truly delivered, we must cry out. Is crying out when the heart is in total submission, and is that when the Lord moves to save you out of our circumstances?
Well, I think crying out is a way of saying, here's a person who has repented, their desires towards the Lord, they're open towards Him, they will listen now. You know, when we're stubborn, we don't listen, right? And God brings us through some hard things sometimes so that we will learn to listen. And I don't think he's, if we would apply this in the New Testament, we were, are necessarily saying crying out in the flesh, you know. We're crying out in the Spirit. We're crying to God to lead us through this darkness, to give us light, to give us grace, to give us deliverance, you know. Give us your best, Lord. Give us what you gave us at the cross. So, people have to be humbled to do that. We're stubborn, you know, naturally speaking, we're stubborn, and sometimes we have to be humbled to cry out to God. That's what I think it means. You have another question or two?
Yeah, can you comment on what a man-pleasing spirit is and the danger of it?
We used to call them apple polishers. I don't know why, I can't figure that out. Yeah, man-pleasing spirit. Well, the world had a more ugly name for it. They called it brown nosers, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Apple polishers.
That I can relate to that one. I can understand that.
You know, there are people that they're just looking for position, you know. And they're just looking for gain. They're not willing to cross the world or cross the leadership or cross their religion in order to be in right standing with God. You know, we got to love God whom we can't see rather than men who we can. And we got to be willing to be ostracized by men, hated by men, rejected by men. As the Bible says, we will be if we're accepted by God. Everybody who is accepted by God is rejected by men, even religious men. So we have to come to that point, folks. We will be willing to be the odd man out, to be the strange person, you know, in order to be right with God. And, rather than be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. And these people, ultimately, God promotes. He gives them authority in His kingdom. A lot of men pleasers that are heads of religion, like in Jesus' day, the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, he said, how can you receive the glory of God when you seek the glory of men? And it was true. They were seeking to please one another, to be promoted, to be esteemed by a particular mindset, and so they couldn't hear the words of Jesus because they knew that they would be ostracized and thrown out of their religion if they were. You know, the early Christians that came out of Judaism, those people, many of them lost everything when they did that. Their families disowned them. As they do today, folks. Their families disowned them. And many of them lost jobs, lost businesses because people wouldn't do business with them. Paul said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions in Hebrews. What was he talking about? Because when those people, it cost them something to become Christians. You know, Christianity is really not going to be worth much, folks, till it costs you something to be a Christian. As long as it is fashionable to be a Christian, Christianity won't be anything. It will be totally corrupt. But when it costs you something to be a Christian, then Christians will be Christians. And we're coming to a day when it will cost you something to be a Christian. So when the whole world will look down on you. When you lose your job, when you lose your fellowship, when you'll be thrown out of your religion, what so on and so forth. See. If the people value fellowship with Christ so much that they will give up the world, then those people are true Christians. And that's where we're headed. Why is God going to turn all of the world against us? He said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I've said it before. It means so that God's name is manifested in us, we have to be hated by the world. See, when God's people were in Egypt, they kind of liked it there. But God turned the Egyptians' hearts to hate them so they'd be willing to leave. And they made it hard on them. Now, they took away straw. They had to make bricks without straw. You know? They made it hard on them. And folks, this war is going to make it hard on us. We're going to be willing to depart from our lovers in this world, our religious, even secular, worldly denominations or nations. See, what's going to cause the Christians in America to give up being Americans and decide to be Israel? It's because America's going to be against you. That's why. Our kingdom's not of this world. We're not Americans, folks. If you come into the kingdom, you may live in America, but you no longer pledge allegiance to this flag. And sure, we do love the people. We want to see them saved and so on and so forth. That's part of it, you know. But we're not patriotic. Our loyalty is towards the Lord God Almighty, and we don't care what nation we're in. We belong to Him. We follow Him. We serve Him. We're not man pleasers. Listen, the Lord told us to be subject to all every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We don't want to bring a bad name on Christianity. We want to pay our taxes, for instance. No, I mean, Jesus said, look, the sons of the king, do they pay taxes? Well, no. Of course they don't. But, so that the people of the world are not offended, you go pay that tax. And he provided the tax money even for Peter out of a fish's mouth. He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. See, we do certain things for the world's sake. Not because we have to for the kingdom of God, but for the world's sake. We don't want to bring any disrepute upon Christianity whatsoever. But that's not being a man pleaser. That's being a God pleaser. So it will cost us something to be a God pleaser. Jesus said, they will hate you like they hated me. You see, the closer we get to Jesus, the more hated we'll be by the world. If there's a religious leader out there that is touted by the world, respected by the world, believe me, he ain't very high in the kingdom. I don't care who he is. He is not very high in the kingdom. Well, what about... Yeah, him too.
Him too.
What about...
Yeah, this is Bob. There's... It's going to be a very poor choice to continue on in the ways that... Most all of us that have come to any discernment with the Scriptures have come to understand there's a separation from man in terms of interpretations of the light. But when you look at Old Testament times, the three Hebrew children, they were commanded to bow down and worship the beast. And those commands were brought before the king through the ministers. And though the translation in Hebrew would be, the closest thing would be through the pastors. And there's going to be a very high cost because the Scriptures tell us in Revelation that we're not going to be able to buy and sell. Aside from the rejection from the patriotic side, and other religions and all nationalities that are going to come against you, if you can't stand in the Lord and be led of the Spirit of God, if you continue to follow man and tradition and religion, you're going to get caught in the devil's snare, because the Scriptures tell us that what lies ahead of us is a tremendously great falling away of God's people.
not the unchurched, not those that don't belong to the Lord. You can't fall away if you do not belong to the Lord. So it's going to be even the elect that are going to be deceived, that are caught in the devil's snare. So it is important that we learn now to give up and mortify this flesh, to learn to walk and stand in faith, because there's a wilderness experience that's ahead of us, that Jesus, when he came after being baptized, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and the Lord is doing a work right now in so many people, in a preparation where people come to the counseling group and they ask, why is this happening to me? And why is it that we see so many of God's people that are walking through trials? The Lord is trying to teach us to walk by faith, to be led of the Spirit of God, because we are going to need it very, very badly in the days ahead. So this is one of the reasons why we really want to push away from something that we should know about religious spirits and following religious spirits. If you doubt what I'm saying, if the Lord hasn't revealed this to you, I would challenge you to really look closely at the harlot in the book of Revelation, to try to ask the Lord and take it before God. What are the vestments of this harlot? How does this harlot look that she could be arrayed in such a way and not be the church? Ask yourself that. How could this harlot not be worldwide religion? Ask yourself that. God says he's going to destroy her and burn her up with fire. He says, come out from among her, or you're going to receive of the plagues. So should there be any comfort as a son of God, a child of God that is seeking the kingdom, to embrace religion? These are questions that you should really take before the Lord.
She was dressed in royalty, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
But there's also another side of that too. The Bible said, blessed are the peacekeepers. So it doesn't mean going out creating havoc and telling people that they're condemned for believing such, or, you know, we still have to be Christ to these people. And it could easily, I've seen people just come against somebody for not belonging to a certain religion or believing a certain thing because you believe what the Bible said. And that's not right either.
Amen. You know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Rex might be in there somewhere. He was going to come in and give a praise report for the Set the Captives Free prison ministry. And he's going to share something with us. If he is, maybe he can come forward and share something with us.
With the amount of people we have, they have to raise their hand.
Okay. Well, Rex, if you hear us and you got something to share, please raise your hand and get Terry's attention. And maybe something else we've been missing here is, you know, some of our brethren went up to Franklin right outside of Atlanta there to help Pastor Bob get the radio station up and going. And Mike and Jose are here, and Bill, they all went up there and got the roof repaired and quite a few other things done. And we didn't know, but Mike's got a testimony about why he went up there this last time. The Lord had actually led him up there and made a way, something he'd been praying for. And Mike, you want to feel like you can share this?
As long as I can keep from babbling and not say anything. Because that's what I told him when I got up there. Bill was with me, because I had been talking to Bill about a little trailer that I wanted. And he noticed there was one at the church over there. And he said, there's that church. I said, yeah, that's mine. And he goes, what do you mean that's your trailer? I said, look, that is why I am here. God has given me this trailer. That's the reason I came with you this time, Bill. Because I asked last time that I was here for Darcy and Bob to see if they could find me one that was like the one down at Pastor Dan's. And as soon as I got back, Pastor Dan said that he had my trailer was ready, and how he got that my trailer, I guess he got his message too, but he said my trailer was ready if I needed it yet. And so that's it. That's how I got what I've been wanting for months. But and Bill, he was jealous. He said, "Man, I wish I'd have seen that trailer for you. It'd be mine." I said, "Well, he's got another one over there. Do you want it?" But that was why that is the main reason I went down there, because I told you that I had other options.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed for another job, but God wouldn't give me another job. And I said, "Well, I guess that my job is to go back to Georgia." And my calling was to Georgia, and my trailer was in Georgia, and my works were done.
Yeah, Mike had been telling me for several months he wanted to get him a little trailer, because he's by himself, and he wanted to give him a little trailer instead of having the high rent costs that he does. And went on the property there and saw a really nice trailer. And before anybody could tell him anything about the thing, he said, "That's my trailer right there." Well, come to find out, the guy that owned the trailer heard him say something and said, "Hey, you can buy that trailer, and it was a really good deal." So Mike was dead on. He said, "That's my trailer." So he bought it. And so he's going to be moving up there with Pastor Bob for a little while now, and we'll see how it works after that, right?
One way or the other, I'm either going to move there or I am going to get a loan to pay for the trailer and have it brought here. But either way, it's my trailer. I don't care where I live.
You're going to pay 3 months on it and it'll be yours, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, that'd be quick. That's good. Praise God. God answered the question. God answered the prayer, and God sent him to the right place.
And I knew that it was answered because that was proof when they mentioned it. And I told Bill, "It's mine." He just couldn't get over it. "What do you mean that's yours?" So that's why I'm here, Bill. That's why I come.
Sometimes the Lord just puts things in your heart like that, doesn't he, Mike?
He does.
You just know it. You just know it. That's a word of knowledge there.
David, doesn't Rex live in Louisiana?
No.
Oh, he doesn't?
Up north here, or Birmingham, I believe.
No.
Well,
I didn't see him in the room.
Anybody else there have a question that we can go through real quick, right, before we kind of close out for today?
Well, we have three prayer requests, but we do have a question. It's,
well, maybe
what's
we
the
better
difference between bond servant of Christ and Son of God?
Well, we really ought to study that. Sometime we got more time to get into it.
Right.
There's a difference in the Bible between servants and sons. It's a very good difference. I think it would make a very good study. There's even a difference of reward for servants of God and sons of God.
Some tapes up there.
There's some excellent audios on our site concerning servants and sons. If you wanted to go to, I think that it may be under the teachings, under teachings that are teachings from the 80s and 90s audios. There's some teachings there about servants and sons, and maybe some there from the 80s. That's two different categories on servants and sons, but there's some good teachings there. We may also just give a teaching on that, just study that one day, because it's an excellent exhortation. The difference between the relationship of a servant to a master and a son to his father is the difference that we're talking about. There is a difference of reward. Great difference of reward. Some people say there's no differences of the reward for all the children of God, but that's pure baloney, folks. That's just not biblical whatsoever. We need to study that because it's very important. The Bible says, I believe it's in Proverbs 27, that every servant, when he is perfected, no, excuse me, that's John. I'm forgetting the verse right now. Let me think about it. I think it is Proverbs 27. Let me see. Oh, here it is. I'm sure it's 29, 21. "He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. You know, we mature from servants to sons. And when we're a servant, we're a child, according to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 4. A servant different nothing from a child. Though actually he's Lord of all, you know. When we're children, we can be servants of God, but we're not sons of God. A son of God is someone who is coming into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, again, I think that'd be a really good study we can do. Real soon we'll do that.
Okay? And that was a question I had when I first started reading the Bible. It's like, there's a difference here.
Yes.
Servant and son.
Yeah. There's a difference in the Bible between child of God and son of God. They're supposed to be. They're not interchangeable. Although there are some Bibles that do make them interchangeable. They'll flip-flop and use the Greek word for son and the Greek word for child. They'll just put it however it sounds better. But actually, they're supposed to be different, because a child is a servant and a son is not a servant. Different relationship. Okay. A technon and a huios. So, we have some prayer requests. We need to get to those.
I hope that we just received word of a friend's cousin, Houston and Hunter, ages 2 and 5, who are playing and accidentally locked themselves into a hot car trunk for an hour. They're both unconscious and breathing on their own. Please pray for them. They think the 2-year-old stands a far worse chance of surviving. Okay. They're in Children's Hospital in Oklahoma City. Thank you.
Houston and Hunter?
Houston and Hunter.
Wow, let's pray for them, folks. Let's put our faith together for those children. Father, we ask you, according to Mark 11:24, you said all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, believe we received them, and we shall have them. Lord, we ask you to restore these children, restore their minds, restore their bodies, deliver them from this, Father. Heal them. But Lord, we ask you to use this to bring their loved ones to you, Father. We ask that their loved ones cry out to you in this regard. We ask that you put faith in their hearts. And we agree with them, Father, for these children. We agree that you've heard our prayer and that it's done in Jesus' name. Houston and Hunter, be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be blessed, be restored, be healed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for an awesome miracle there, for your glory, Lord. Let them know that it's you, Lord. Amen. Have another turn?
Yeah, I guess I have one more. My husband and I would like for you to pray for us to receive tongues. And we would like to agree with you that it happens supernaturally where we have no part in it. Example, we will wake up out of the sleep speaking in tongues. We have been born again for 3 years and have been called into full ministry, First Fruits Mitchell. Have been getting a lot of rejection. We have gifts from the Father that we are grateful for, but we have not received tongues. Our names are Jennifer and Christopher.
Jennifer and Christopher.
Yes, Jennifer and Christopher. They want to receive tongues. Gift of tongues.
Well, Lord, you tell us by your word that when we come to you, Father, that that if we ask of a gift from you, that will you give us in return a stone? Or if we ask for a blessing, will we receive a scorpion? And Lord, we're believing on the behalf of our brothers and sisters in the Lord here that this is a request of a gift that you give freely, Father. And we're asking that you would provide everything necessary for them to receive this gift freely from you, the needed faith, Lord. And Father, what we're asking is that if it need be that somebody that has the gift of tongues, share the gift of tongues with them to be able to receive, Lord. And Father, you just make whatever way it is possible for both of them to exercise this gift freely. Lord, we know that these gifts are given to us for our benefit, Lord, and to manifest the needs of the body. And Father, for that reason, they come to you, and Lord, they ask for this gift to serve you, Lord, and to follow you, Father. So in the name of Jesus, we just command that everything that's necessary in order to receive this gift is provided from our Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks, Lord, and give you the glory that on this very day that you make yourself manifested in the form of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they might speak freely with a new language that will edify you and bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We can
see it. Thank you, Lord. You have another one there, Terry? Agreement with the... This is Jonathan. Agreement with the kids at my school. The elect to come to the kingdom, or the knowledge of God, and for God to fill my heart with His Spirit, to be led by Him and His Word completely, and to have a complete fear of the Lord, that some of these kids can come out of Babylon and Egypt. I don't know if he's a college student. That's what I feel like. It's a college environment. That I understand.
Well, Father, we do ask you to give an anointing to Jonathan, Lord, to the people around him, that he would be very useful in your kingdom, Lord, that your blessings would flow through him in wisdom and understanding to these people, that you would give him favor with the people around him in school, Lord. Give him favor with them, Lord. Draw people to him, Lord, and open his mouth and fill his mouth with your wisdom for them, Father. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit, your anointing upon him for this work while he's there doing his schooling, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for mightily, mightily moving through him and blessing them and drawing them and giving them wisdom and guiding them towards your word. Lord, help him to prepare, Lord. Put your word in his heart. Let the Holy Spirit bring to his memory everything that you've said unto him, as you've promised, Lord. And just let it flow, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you. Well,
one more.
Okay, we're going to do one more, and then we'll pray.
For Chung Lam. He's still in New Orleans. He's 13 miles from downtown New Orleans. And he's not. He's still staying in his home. He's not going to the Superdome. He's not evacuating. He only has a two-story frame house. So he's staying, and I guess we just need to pray that the Lord protect him.
Amen. Well, I know God can do that, don't you? Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you, Lord, for putting your hedge about Chum and his family over there in New Orleans, Lord. And the other brethren that we have there too, Lord. Put your hedge about them. In Jesus' name, Father, we trust you to keep them, provide for them, guide them through this whole thing, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. We praise you in Jesus' name because you're our Savior in all things. All things. You're our protector. Lord, we thank you that your angels are round about Chung and his family. Just as Psalm 34 says. Lord, we trust you for Psalm 34 being fulfilled for Chung. Psalm 91 being fulfilled for Chung and his family. And yes, the angels of the Lord are round about them. We believe it. We accept it. Nothing, no danger, no harm can come to them in Jesus' name. Lord, we just praise you for it. Lord, we ask you to fill Chung and his family with boldness and faith. We banish fear from around them in Jesus' name. We forbid it in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for confidence in you in their midst, Lord. And that you will guide them every step of the way, Lord. You'll tell them where you want them. You'll guide them. You'll protect them where they are. Makes no difference. We know you are our Savior. That's not our job, to save ourselves. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, chum. He is.
Passover night.
Yes, this is a Passover night for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the brethren that have joined us today. And we pray that we've been able to bring some blessing and some wisdom to them, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much for the brethren out there who have supported the ministry, Lord. We praise you for them, Father. We thank you for them. We ask you to bless them abundantly, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to fellowship with one another. We thank you for the wonderful good plans you've got for us in the days ahead. Thank you for the wonderful revival you're sending. Thank you for the chastening too. Give thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you command. God bless you, brethren. We love you. We thank you for joining us, and we'll meet with you again next Wednesday, Lord willing.